This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
In the book of our text has actually been from the book of John, where John 14, 16, where Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever." I'll ask the Father, He'll give you another. We started this series with the idea that the helper, another helper, simply is another of the same kind. And Jesus was saying, He will give you another helper. In other words, He is going to be like me. And so we started off with that. We have discussed a lot of things. I will not take the time to recap all of that. Last week, we did talk about the fact that God always gives us choices. He says, you know, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I come in." He said, "If you choose life." And so whenever we start talking about subjects that maybe you're not up on or a little bit sketchy on, it's okay to understand that God's not going to force anything on you. And He always gives us choices. Think about it. If He was going to force things on us, He would have forced salvation on us a long time ago. And so we have choices. We also talked about, what do we do when our choices differ from someone else? What do we do when maybe I was raised a certain way and I don't believe, you know, what you teach? I always encourage people, go to the Scriptures. But then if you don't understand something, you know, the best thing to do is just take a neutral stance. But you never want to discourage somebody from pursuing God. People are hungry, and you know, if you see someone, maybe they're hungry for God, and they're telling you about an experience, don't discourage them. We always want to make sure that we're encouraging other people to go farther in Christ. And so that's always going to be a blessing to them. So we talked about that last week, and then we begin to discuss some of the Scriptures that talked about what happened when the Holy Spirit came. Now, Jesus talked to His disciples, and He told His disciples to wait. In Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, "And being assembled together with them, He," this is Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." This is what He called the Holy Spirit. "The promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized," or immersed, "with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In verse 8, He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world." He told His disciples, the ones who had traveled with Him for the longest period of time, He said, "I need you to stay. I need you to wait till you receive the promise." So this is something I've always used as an encouragement. If James and John and Peter needed the promise, I figured I need the promise. You say, "Well, Alan, they had a big job to do." The job's not done. We haven't finished. The whole world hasn't heard. We haven't gotten the gospel out all over. I'd just be willing to bet there are people in your neighborhood who do not know the Lord. I've got people in my neighborhood that don't know the Lord. And so we still have a job to do, still have things, and we need the power. We need as much power as we can get. We need to be empowered. And so Jesus told His disciples, "Don't go anywhere till you receive the power." Now, we begin to talk about what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's Acts chapter 2. They were in the upper room. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and divided tongues as of fire sat upon each of them, and they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. This is also where we find that they spilled out into the street. People thought they were drunk, and Peter stood up. And Peter, who had been afraid, Peter, who had been stared down by a little servant girl the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter stood up and preached to about 3,000 plus people and told them, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," he said, "in the last days, that God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh." And so we see that at the initial, we see the initial entry of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the infilling, the immersion of the Holy Spirit there at Pentecost. And we see it there. And some have said, "Well, that's the only time it happened." No, that's not the only time, because then we talked about the fact that it happened in Samaria, where the Samaritans had received Philip. He'd gone down there and preached Christ to them. A whole bunch of them got saved, got baptized. They had a wonderful revival in Samaria. And they said they sent Peter and John to them, who, because the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon them. So you hear this term immersed, fallen, and it's an impression that the Holy Spirit comes upon. Now, we've talked about the fact that there's the Holy Spirit within you, that if you've been born again, if you've made Jesus your Lord, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And I realize sometimes some wrong-leaning groups have told people, "Well, if you ain't baptized in the Holy Ghost, you ain't got it, you're not saved." That is so wrong. That is wrong. And once again, that's the body of Christ taking shots at one another and still doing what we should be doing, is reaching a world. But there's the idea of the Holy Spirit within, and then the idea of the Holy Spirit upon, where He comes upon and He immerses you. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, if I have the bottle of water, I won't do it today. But if I had a bottle of water, you know, I can take a bottle of water and I can drink it, and that's water in. I could also take it and pour it on me, and that's water upon. And so it's the same thing. You can have the Holy Spirit in you, but also have the Holy Spirit come upon you. And this is what Jesus was talking about when He told His disciples, don't go anywhere until you receive this promise from the Father. So we talked about in Samaria. We also talked about the fact that Cornelius, an Italian guy, he was a Roman centurion. He was one that received the Holy Spirit, but actually he didn't even know the Lord. He had a vision of an angel that came to him and said, you need to send for Peter. Peter came, preached a real good gospel message. Cornelius had all his buddies and family and everybody gathered around, and so he preached Jesus. Now, understand that Jews did not think that anybody else could be saved. Only Gentiles could be saved. Peter went and preached Jesus, and while he's preaching Jesus, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, fell on the whole group, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. Peter looked at everyone else and said, well, I guess what do we do now? I guess we had to baptize them, because they received the Holy Spirit the same as we did. So he's talking, there was Samaria, then there was the Gentiles. I want to look at this one today, because this is probably one of the most fascinating ones, and it's in the book of Acts. It's Acts the 19th chapter. Let's read, starting verses 1 through 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, this is a question that I think people have to ask themselves. Why in the world would Paul ask them this? He found a group of people that he said he found some disciples. And so he finds these disciples. He's around them for a little bit. He said, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If there is no subsequent experience, why would you even ask that question? And they said, we never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul's like, what were you guys baptized into? And they said, John. He was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was a precursor of Jesus, came before Jesus, came preaching this baptism of repentance. Remember John? He was out in the wilderness, had leather girdle on, had camel's hair, ate locusts and wild honey, kind of a wild man. He's out in the desert preaching repent. A lot of people were disciples of John. And so some of these disciples of John were in Ephesus. And they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. Paul basically said, okay, I got it. John preached a baptism of repentance, telling them they should believe on him who should follow, which is Jesus Christ. So as soon as they heard that, they're like, oh, okay, we'll receive Jesus. And then they were baptized. And then Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been preaching for 30-some years. I have never laid hands on anyone to be saved. If someone had come down to the front and said, Alan, I really need to receive Jesus, I don't just reach my hand out and lay hands on them. What do we tell them to do? You have to believe. And then we say that prayer. Some of you know that prayer. Some of you know that prayer better than you think you do. We've said it so much. You get in a situation, someone says, you need to pray with me. And all of a sudden, that prayer is going to come up right up in your heart. What are we doing? We're confessing Jesus as Lord. So there is a difference then, and they confessed Jesus as Lord. Then he laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, here's where some of the challenge comes in. People say, Alan, I want all the Holy Spirit there is. I just don't want the tongues. Thank you for your honesty. It's like my pastor used to say, it says it's kind of like buying shoes. Tongues come with it. So let's talk a little bit Let's just talk a little bit about what I want to call common objections. I was in sales for a number of years, and in sales, we always dealt with objections. So I'm going to answer the objections first, and then I'm going to give you the benefits. You say, I don't want none of that tongues business. Hang on. I might sell you on this. You might, because I can give you some good reasons. But here's the common objections, depending on how you were raised, what you were brought up. Common objections to the Holy Spirit and being baptized is tongues passed away. How many of you ever heard that? Passed away. That stuff all passed away. Here's where they get that verse. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. People have stopped right there and said, see, tongues will cease. But if we're honest, then we have to say that prophecies have failed and knowledge has vanished away. So you can't take one verse and make a doctrine out of it. Because there are prophecies. How many of you know that Jesus returning again is a prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled? Correct? And so how many of you know that when God creates a new heavens and a new earth, that is a prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled? Some of you say, Alan, do you believe in global warming? How about global melting? Where we get a new heaven, new earth. And this, the Bible said this earth will melt with fervent heat. Don't worry about it. You won't be here and we'll get a new one. I just rattled some of your cages right there. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. But what I'm saying is people have said these things have passed away. You need other scriptures to back that up. Has knowledge passed away? Of course not. We know more now than we ever have. And so you can't just say, well, tongues has passed away. So there's one. Here's two. I am concerned that the Holy Spirit will take me over and embarrass me. I got you. I feel you on that. I was, like I said, I spent the first 15 years of my career after coming out of college. I worked with Lakewood as what they call a lay leader. In other words, I was a volunteer. And I was a sales rep. And I called on people. Let me tell you something. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit for years. I have never once sat there in the presentation and all of a sudden just went, oh, here it comes. Remember, I keep saying the Lord doesn't force you to do anything. I did have some fun with a guy one time. I used to train for people. Some of you heard this story before. If you know it, just look straight ahead. Let the other ones hear it. I used to train people in sales, and they would send guys with me, and they sent this guy to me, man. This guy, he's a big old tall guy. He was just your classic, what you think of a salesman. He was blustery. He had an opinion on everything. We're standing there in a bank, and he's talking to me. He said, yeah. He says, my wife's grandma's nuts. Sends all her money to Pat Robinson, all them tongue-talking people. He said, they're crazy. She's crazy. They're all crazy. So I'm sitting there in the bank. I looked at him. I said, Larry, you didn't know this, but I'm a tongue-talking Christian myself. And then I got this look in my eye. I went, I said, in fact, I feel a spell coming on right now. Oh, how many know it's okay to jack with people in the Lord, all right? Man, he cut a wide path around me for a long time. We were traveling a few days later, and I'm driving down the middle of the highway. I went, oh, you better take the wheel. I feel another spell coming on. So I said, Alan, I don't want that to happen. It won't happen. Let me give you a scripture for that, besides Alan's story. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Notice Paul said, I will. So the Holy Spirit gives you the ability, but it's your will. So you just like you can come in here and not sing, we can sing all these songs, you don't have to sing anything. And Paul's saying, I can sing with the understanding, I can pray with the Spirit, I can pray with the understanding, it's your choice. So don't ever feel concerned, well, if I get filled with the Spirit, he's going to embarrass me or make me do something crazy. Remember, we said the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. The people that you know who are Holy Spirit-filled Christians who are weird, were weird before they were filled. They just look for somebody to blame it on. So the Holy Spirit will not take you over. God never makes us do anything, including speak. We have to yield to Him. That's why a lot of times people will come down to receive, and they want to receive the Holy Spirit, and they just clam up, and they'll just, like they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to kind of jump on them and make them talk, and that's not going to happen. You're going to have to speak. He'll give you the utterance you begin to speak. Here's the next one. I am concerned that I would get something dark or wrong. And you want to mess around with that Holy Spirit business, you might get a wrong spirit. I don't know where this one comes from. Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 11 through 13. Jesus is speaking. He said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So don't ever be concerned. If you come down and ask and pray and ask God to give you the Holy Spirit or to fill you or to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get any. We've got a better Father than that. And He said, listen, I'm not the world's best father, but I would never do something to hurt my children. God's never going to do something to hurt you. Keeping in mind the Holy Spirit is a gift. Here's one for those who are kind of more Bible-based. They say, well, tongues is of no value, Alan, unless it's interpreted. Tongues is of no value unless it's interpreted. When Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, he wrote it to the Corinth church. Corinth was like the Las Vegas of that day. Man, they had a lot of stuff going on in Corinth that would put Vegas to shame. And they had all kinds of temple prostitutes in the town. It was a wild town. And so when these believers came in, man, they were kind of a wild and woolly bunch. And so as Paul was writing, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are really instructive because he's instructing them how to act in the church. And what happened is that they were getting up and speaking in tongues in the church, sitting down, and everyone's going, what was that? And so Paul is trying to bring some help. And so he distinguishes between your private prayer time and in the church. So let's read this scripture here, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, and 19. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's just enough for me to go, if Paul did it, I want it. Yet in the church, he said, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he's distinguishing between a public time and a private time. One of the things that I have shared with people over the years is, and I believe me, I've been around this for a while. I've seen some stuff that's just, it shouldn't take place. But one of the biggest advantages, and we're going to talk about it, is what the Holy Spirit adds to your prayer life. What He adds to your private prayer life is immeasurable. But what's happened is that the church was standing up and Paul had to bring correction. He said, I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, yet in the church. He said, in the church, it would do none of you any good if I stood up here and spoke in tongues. You're looking at me like, what was that? You would not understand. And so Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't stand up and try to teach people in tongues and sit down and go, hope y'all got it. He said, use words they can understand. So he was making a distinction. And He's helping them. So let me give you, here in our last few minutes, let me give you benefits of having a heavenly language or a prayer language. You've heard it called a prayer language or a heavenly language. There is no downside to it. I promise you. I've talked with people over the years. And as a pastor, I hear stories. I've heard people say, Alan, I so regret getting involved with drugs at a young age. Alan, I so regret when I got out of hand, started drinking. Alan, I so regret going in this direction. I've never had one person ever come to me and say, Alan, I so regret being filled with the Spirit. Never had it. I've never. And I challenge people. I said, try it for a year and then come back and tell me. So there is no downside. Here's the first thing. One of the huge benefits is speaking directly to God in prayer. It's a direct supernatural way of communicating with God. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. This is a spiritual thing. He said, you're speaking directly to God. That word mysteries is the word that means divine secrets. So, well, if I'm speaking a secret, how's that going to help? How many of you know it's not a secret to God? It might be a secret to you. It might be a secret to the people around, but it is not a secret to him. It is a direct way of praying. We have some staff members. One of them is Jody Hart. Every time I start one of these series, Jody Hart comes to me. She said, Alan, she said, I am so glad you're teaching this series again. She said, I can't tell you what this has done to my prayer life. Have you ever been praying and just run out of words? And you're like, Lord, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so, bless my family, bless them, bless them, bless them. Lord, help so-and-so. You need to send someone to get deal with so-and-so. And after a while, you look up, you think, man, I've been praying a long time. You've been praying 5 minutes. And then you are out. I know I'm the only one that's ever happened to, so it is. But this is a means of speaking directly to God. To the point where you can, after a while, after you begin to pray and develop, I know that Joy and I have just sat down for long periods of time and prayed over an hour, over 2 hours. Say, how in the world can you do that? Well, if you're praying directly to God and the Holy Spirit is helping you, it's a whole different world. And it is so helpful. And I'll tell you a couple of reasons behind that. Here's the first one, though, speaking directly to God in prayer. Number two, it builds you up spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. That word edifies actually means to build up. It has a similar phrase of charging, like you would charge a battery. And so it says, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you are beginning to charge your batteries. Remember I said, listen, one of the biggest challenges we need is sometimes in our Christian life, we just feel so dry on the inside. We just feel like we're so depleted. It is good to be able to pray, to talk directly to God. And in doing that, you begin to charge yourself up on the inside. And boy, that is so helpful. Here's the third one. You're praying in line with God's will. This takes selfishness out of our prayers. Look in Romans, the 8th chapter. This is 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praying, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Guys, I can't tell you how much this has helped. I got a phone call one night. Well, actually, it wasn't a phone call. It was a text. My sister says, I've got to go in the hospital. I'm having some problems. And that's the last text I got from her. She went to the hospital, and I had a concern in my heart. I didn't really know what to do. I had a concern. So I just began to pray. I'm praying in the Spirit. I told him, I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me. I begin to pray and begin to pray and begin to pray. Just praying in the Spirit. And just, I don't know how long I prayed, but all of a sudden I just had a knowledge, a knowing on the inside. She's all right. It's going to be okay. I thought she was going to die. She's all right. She's going to be okay. What happened? We're praying in the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit just was able to witness to us. Praying for loved ones. Praying, if you ever just had a sensing, I need to pray. I don't even know what to pray for. I need to pray. Joy and I, you don't know this, but Joy and I, before we ever had the church, we would get up in our loft area. We had a place to pray. And we would get up in the loft and we would begin to pray. We said, Lord, you don't know who the people are that need to be coming to this church, the Ark. This is before we ever started. We don't know, you know. We don't know who they are. And so Joy and I said, but you do. And we begin to pray and we would pray in the Spirit. What are we doing? We're praying according to the will of God. See, that's beautiful. The Bible said we don't know everything to pray for as we should. I mean, I can pray for you. Say, Alan, how can you pray for this many people? This is a huge church. You know, the only way you can successfully pastor is to have 100 people or 150 people. I don't need to know everything about you to pray for you. If the Holy Spirit is helping me, He can have me praying for things that this hadn't happened yet, things we don't know about. He knows everybody. And so Joy and I, when we're praying, we need His help. Do you see what I'm saying? There's so much we don't know that we need His help on that stuff. I don't know everything to pray. I mean, I could pray for Justin. Lord, help Justin, strengthen Justin. Do it. After a while, it's like, I don't know everything Justin needs, but the Holy Spirit does.
Yes, He does.
And so I can pray for Justin. I pray for staff. Can't tell you how many times we've been praying, and Joy and I have just had a knowing we needed to do something. We need to be. Why? Because we're praying according to the will of God. What a huge blessing. Because you're not just limited to what I know. I get to tap into what He knows. And that's a great way to pray. I tell people, if you don't have any other reason than that one right there, that makes it all worthwhile. Because now you've got a chance to pray, and it helps you and it builds you up. Here's another thing it does. It said in the book of Jude, it says it stimulates our faith. Jude 20, you beloved, building yourselves up. So we're edifying, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's such a blessing. Sometimes I'll just sit in my chair and just pray. I rock and pray and just build myself up. I pray for you guys in the Spirit before I come, every message, every sermon, that's what I do. In fact, that's how people say, how do you do 2-3 messages a day? I get help. I got a lot of help. Man, I'll pray. I say, Lord, I don't know. What do they need? And I pray. So I'm asking. I'm just like picking. We say, do you just pick sermons? No, I pray. Because the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And how many times, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many times, hopefully, it's happened to you that you've sat down and went, Lord, that's exactly what I needed to hear. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Or have you ever seen me go off the reservation and get over in an area where like, why did he go there? And someone else saying, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Guys, what we're talking about is a spiritual thing, but it's a powerful thing. And to be able to pray, oh, if you've got kids, I can't tell you of a better way to pray for those children. We pray for them. We pray for their friends that we don't know yet. We've been praying for spouses before spouses ever showed up. Lord, you know who the right ones are. And I will trust me on this one. You need your kids marrying the right peoples.
Yep. Amen.
Because spouses come with families. You don't just get one. You get a whole group of them. You need help. We need help. We're praying, not knowing what to. Our kids, I don't take nothing too. If you start this young, your kids will develop a holy fear of you. Because we're like, oh, we'll know what's going on. The Holy Spirit will tell me what's going on in your life. We'll know. And they'll look at you like, Mama knows. Daddy knows. And he's told us things that have helped. I told you about the time that Michael had called me, said, I need to go to this game. We let him go. Both Joy and I felt bad about it. I sat down in my office. I just began to pray, man. I just had a burden to pray. We prayed. She prayed. But I found out she was praying the same time. And we get home and find out that Michael had merged onto a truck. Getting on the I-45, he'd merged onto a truck, and you could see the imprint of the wheel in his door. But thank God he was able. Do I believe it was because we prayed? Yes, I believe it was because we prayed. So I just, you know, as a parent, man, I'm telling you, I couldn't do without it. As a pastor, I couldn't do without it. But you say, well, Alan, I'm not a parent or a pastor. You still don't need to do without it. It'll help you. It'll help you. If you're a believer, if you live in this world, you need help. Here's the last one. Last benefit is it reminds us of the Holy Spirit's presence within us. So that's a wonderful thing. We said just to be reminded, John 14, 16 and 17, I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. It's a great reminder, the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, here's what we're going to do this evening. And thank you for being such a good listening group. We've filmed these. We're going to use this as a class. and we will help. And we'll use this as a Sunday and a Wednesday class to teach. So I would like it ongoing, because people who would like to receive, I want to give them every opportunity that they can. And so we're going to do that. So thank you for listening so well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in just a moment. I never want to talk about the gospel and not give a chance for people to receive. So you know us. That's what we do. But then what we're going to do is I'm going to bring back some of our staff and some of our prayer partners here, and they're going to be up in the front. And if you would like to receive the promise of the Father, Alan, what's the prerequisite? Because, you know, I haven't been the world's best Christian. Well, join the club. No one is a perfect Christian. Paul never looked at them and said, if you're perfect, you can receive. He said, are you a believer? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you do, if you've been born again, born from above, born anew, then you are a vessel that's been cleansed by God and you can receive. So that's it. You say, well, I've been living bad. Well, then when we bow our heads and pray, you bow your head and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Bible said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So this is not a matter of perfection. This is not a matter of maturity. This is a matter if you would like to receive. Now, some of you came last week, and maybe for some reason or other you didn't feel like you received. If you want to get back in line again, that is fine. That is not a problem. No one's keeping score. Now, I am going to ask this. If you were not here to receive, and you say, no, I'm really not. I need to go. I'm just going to ask that you slip out quietly. That we believe in doing things that, like the Bible said, decently and in order. This isn't a show. This isn't a spectator thing. If you are not praying to receive or with someone, if you would slip out quietly, that would be great. And then we'll allow these people up here to have a chance to pray. Let's pray before we go. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I trust that you have helped me to do my best in explaining such a wonderful gift to these people. But Father, the greatest gift we could ever receive is the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you that right now that you speak to hearts, that you speak, Father, to those who are away from you. They can receive the most wonderful gift. And, Father, for those who are hungry for you and believe there's something more, Father, thank you that there is. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If you're here and you say, Alan, I don't know that I'm really a Christian. I don't know that I've ever asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Or, Alan, I was, and I've gotten so far away from God, and I know I need his help. Would you pray for me? We will do that if you will do one thing for me. Would you just simply lift your hand in this? We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but we're going to pray for you. Say, I don't know the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In the back. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Way in the back. I got you. Thank you. Great. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Sister Alan, would you pray for me? I've been away from God and I know it, or I just don't know that I've ever really been assured of my salvation, and I want to be. Just real quick, you wave at me. Slip your hand up. Thank you. Great. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're going to pray. We're going to ask everyone who lifted their hand to pray, but we're all going to pray this with you. We're going to pray it out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Father, I also pray for those who are here tonight that said, I really desire more of you. I'm hungry for more of you. I want, Father, whatever you have for me. Father, for every one of those who are here, I thank you that they have an ability to receive. And I thank you, Father, that you will fill and satisfy the longing of their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.